Greetings. The Charlie Parker Festival is going into another interview segment, and we've come down to a club on 34th Street in Manhattan called Brews to interview Max Kaminski. He's playing with a trio here. Max made some very famous records with Lee Wiley in 1940, also trio records, but basically that's a different story. One of the major reasons why we've come to interview Max here tonight on Charlie Parker's 53rd birthday. This is August 29th. You may be hearing this on the 30th, but right now it's still Charlie Parker's 53rd birthday. And Max Kaminski, although noted for his major career as a trumpeter in the swing bands of Dorsey and Shaw and Goodman, although, as I said, played back in the days of pre-big bands and has continued to play with many small Dixie groups very well for years, also played on more than one occasion with the late, great bop alto saxophonist Charlie Parker. In fact, on December 15th, 1949, when Birdland, the nightclub in New York that was named after Charlie Parker, opened, playing the first note was our guest here tonight at Brews, Max Kaminski. And he also later on in that evening played in a set with Charlie R. Bird Parker. On the stand with him was Lester Young, Lips Page, Lenny Tristano, Charlie Parker, and Max Kaminski. How'd you come to play the opening of Birdland back 24 years ago?
Oh, well, it was this agent, Billy Shaw, was putting together this show, great jazz show, and he had many great jazz stars, and he wanted a traditional band like mine to play, and that's how I got the job.
This is the same Billy Shaw then who Parker's composition Sure Enough and Billy's Bounce are named after, isn't that so?
I think so. This Billy Shaw, he used to most all the modern bop musicians, and he liked me, and he liked my kind of music too, and he thought it'd be a good idea to have all kinds of music for the opening of Birdland. So he hired me, and I played the very first note of music the opening night at Birdland. I worked down there for a month or so with Charlie Parker, Lester Young, Lips Page, Stan Getz, and Harry Belafonte was just a pop vocalist at those times. And Lenny Tristano and Lester Young. And it was a great show.
When you were on the stand with Charlie Parker and people like Lester Young, what sort of tunes were used for, let's say, the two schools of jazz to meet in a jam session?
Well, there was no conflict at all, because Charlie Parker and Lester Young, they played traditional music before they went into playing other forms of music, and they didn't play far out, and it melted together. We could play anything. Usually we played the blues or some standard song of the day, and it worked out fine. I remember one time in the intermission that Charlie Parker was playing the piano. He just sit down playing the piano, and he said, "Come on, play something with me." And we were playing, and we played the blues together. Charlie was a great man, and he knew all kinds of music, and he loved all kinds of music. You can tell how great he played, that he knew so much about music to have that great way of composing.
Was the Birdland engagement the first time you got a chance to hear Charlie Parker or play with him, or had you played with him or heard him before that?
Well, I know I did a television show with Charlie Parker and Miles Davis and Max Roach for CBS. I think it was before this. They were having a Monday night television show that was put on by Bob Bach, who later on produced the What's My Line show. And we had this two bands playing of Miles Davis and Charlie Parker and Max Roach, and they had some other fellows there. I forget who they all were, and then I had a little band there, and we played a number, and then they played a number, and then we jammed a number. I think it was the blues we played together, and Yeah, there was no conflict, as I said before. It's on record. As Casey Stengel said, you go and hear this record, this tape they have of the show. They've got it, and you hear we're playing together like we've always played together.
That's wonderful, and that also must have been one of the first times jazz was on television, because since Birdland opened in 49, it must have been 49, 48, and TV had not been on the air for so long, at least not on a commercial level. And it's also a pleasure to know through you that Charlie Parker appeared on television.
Yes, I remember that show very well. There hadn't been too much jazz on. There never has been too much jazz on television, but I guess the first time that I was on television was just before the war. Television started to come in, and I did some shows with Eddie Condon up in CBS. When they used to have all the television sets was a very, very small little tube, and you had to look down on the set. They weren't facing, they were big consoles. And that was about the first time that I know there was jazz on the television. I think Eddie Condon's band was the first one that ever did a jazz show on television.
And Parker also appeared on CBS in the late 40s. What did you think of Charlie Parker and his composition, his Bob compositions, things, you know, like Ornithology and things like that?
Oh, he was a great creator, a great inventive composer. He was, I think Charlie Parker was a great composer. That was his main thing, and of course he had such great technique and his ideas and his individual style made him such a great artist, different from any other saxophone player or any other kind of music that had jazz music that had been played before. Of course, Charlie had played with all the different bands in Kansas City, and he grew up and he knew all the kinds of music. It wasn't just that he played that kind of music. Charlie Parker could play traditional music very well. And then he went on to create his great individual style.
Certainly was a master of the blues. You said that quite often you appeared on the stand at Birdland with Lester Young and Charlie Parker. What did they play like together? How did they get along together on the stand and off?
Oh, I don't remember too much about that now. It seems to be so long ago, but from what I mean, there was never any trouble. They just played. Of course, that was the start of the modern kind of jazz music, and they were playing so great in those days. They were the inventors of it. Charlie Parker and Al Haig was on piano with Charlie's band, and Red Rodney was in that band, and I forget all who was there, but it was just so much great playing. They played so hard and strong, and it was a wonderful era because that was the start of it.
I guess many of our listeners would be, I guess, very interested in that opening of the famous club Birdland. Could you tell us some, I know it's 24 years ago, but could you perhaps give us some of your recollections on that night, perhaps, you know, how it went, how Charlie played, how the crowd received the music?
Well, I really don't know. Can't say now. It was just, what I remember was there was a club called the Red Roost, and that had closed, and the people that were associated with the Red Roost, they, I guess they had done pretty well down the Red Roost, and they decided to open this club and call it Birdland after Charlie, named it after Charlie Parker. And it was very, very successful. It lasted a long time. All the great bands and all the great musicians played. Of course, the opening show, I remember, they had all the great stars there. And they went on after that to become much greater, like Stan Getz and Lester Young. Matter of fact, there was a piano player that played in my band That was one of his very first engagements he had, was Dick Hyman. And from that job, he went to work with Benny Goodman. So he must have been pretty good.
Yes, and the music must have been very good. Did you get a special kind of kick out of playing with a different school player like Charlie Parker? Did you look for, a situation to create, let's say, an all-star session like that, as did occur at the opening of Birdland? Was that a good experience for you musically?
Well, I really never had the opportunity to play with those musicians too much in my career. And the few times I did play with them, I liked it very much because naturally my style is different than theirs. And my whole thinking in music is different than theirs. But once any time I had a chance to play with them, it was very exciting, and I liked it.
That's great. Had you ever seen him in the early days, like when he was with McShann, or the very early days on 52nd Street?
No, I never knew Charlie Parker up until the first time I knew him. I might have met him some places that musicians would go, different bars or clubs, but the first time that I actually ever got to know him was, as I said, those two times, was once in the television show that we did, and at the Birdland. But I didn't know, or I had never really knew he worked with Ted McShann or band. Later on, I found out that he played with the Lips and all the bands out in Kansas City with all these fellows that I got to know. Eddie Bearfield got to tell me about him later on. I worked with Eddie Bearfield, and Eddie Bearfield knew him very well. Eddie Bearfield's a great saxophone player.
Yes, it certainly is very, very interesting, having played very seldom with Charlie Parker, that you should be around for two such major gigs, such as the opening of Birdland and his one of his rare, if not only, TV appearances. Certainly a happy coincidence. They talk a lot about Charlie's personality. Did he have a strong sense of humor? He was, very cheerful on the stand. Did you find him a cheerful person around clubs and things like that, or is that more or less part of the legend, or was he very, boisterous kind of character?
Well, I recall that there were maybe two other times that I had been around where he was, and there used to be a bar next to, close by to Birdland, and we sat down to talk with some other musicians, and Charlie Parker was very calm, very nice, and I had met him in years ago. There was a place downtown called Stuyvesant Casino, and we worked down there in those days. It was a place that they used to have every Friday, Saturday night, that have jazz bands play down there, and Charlie Parker, I met him down there, and Charlie always, as far as my, I I had never been around him too much, but the times that I had been with him and the long stay that we worked down in Birdland, I've never seen him do anything, just be a wonderful guy and play great, as far as I know. I don't know what other people say about him.
Well, once again, this is Phil Schaff from Jazz Session on Sunday nights, and here doing an interview for the Charlie Parker Festival with Max Kaminsky. A very unusual setting. We're in between sets here where Max is playing down at Brews on 34th Street. It's a very fine time to do an interview with Max about Charlie Parker, because right now it's Charlie Parker's 53rd birthday. He would have been 53 today had he lived. And it certainly was a very pleasurable interview. For those of you who have not had the pleasure meeting Max Kaminsky, it's wonderful to talk with him. He remembers so much and expresses it so well, and he certainly did express very well for us his memories of Charlie Yardbird Parker, and certainly they're very important memories, because Max Kaminsky played with Charlie Yardbird Parker, the great bop alto saxophonist, on two memorable gigs in his career: the opening of Birdland on December 15th, 1949, 24 years ago, and on a rare television appearance by Charlie Parker on CBS, also in the 40s. Thanks a lot, Max.
Thank you.
Right now we turn to the Pièce de Résistance, which is a French... Wait a minute.
Wait till I get the French...
Pièce de Résistance is a French expression I had flown in especially for the occasion. Now! Yes.
Round 5
is the finale. Here is the jam session and all jam sessions. We're going to line the boppers up over here, the Dixieland men up over here. You have to stay in the middle, and then everything goes. Let me see, who we got? On the bop side, we got Charlie. Charlie, want to come out? Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Kay Winding, and Max Roach is going to fill in between with Specs on the sub. 3 bop men. Over on this side, we're going to have Joe Marcella, Will Bradley, Max Kaminsky, and Joe Sullivan is going to slide in every once in a while to help Mike Felicio out. Now, a lot of people have said, what is bop and what is Dixieland? It's very, very fortunate that I happen to be here tonight, because I know absolutely nothing about it. However, as the noted Professor Ilya Padikois once said, that bop is the dotted crown with the pilot dotted, and Dixieland, on the other hand, is the top. Which is as clear an explanation as you'll get all night. Gentlemen, can you take off? Oh, yeah, give me the towel. Can I fan everything up, everybody all cool, crazy, solid and gone? How about doing something like a blues thing and then Dixieland bop? You all set? Okay. I'll get out of here. Thank you.
CBS Sports with Will Bradley in his band and Bill Williams as your...
Listen, Mark. Thanks for the Starbucks coupon and the $10, which I'm going to give to the station. And you didn't need to do that, but thanks. And tell you what I put on here is a track, the only track with Max, that is on a stash, S-T-A-S-H CD number 21 called Rare Avis, A-V-I-S, meaning Rare Bird, Charlie Parker record it is. And it's, and you can hear the guy give the announcement of all the guys, but on here it lists the order of the solos. I thought you might like to have that. It says the first, Joe Sullivan, piano intro, Joe Marsala, then the clarinet, Charlie Parker, alto sax, then comes Max Kaminsky, trumpet, Will Bradley, trombone, Kay Winding, trombone, Joe Sullivan again, and then Max Roach, ensemble, and then piano break, and then Miles Davis plays trumpet, and then after that again comes Max Kaminsky, trumpet, then Joe Marsala, clarinet, and then Charlie Parker takes it as the thing fades out. And that is from, says here, March 1952. Thanks for listening to my show, and good luck to you. I'd suggest you call Jim Andrews. He knows more about Max Records than I do. He does a show every other Monday night down at KBOO at around midnight. If you call him, tell him you're in touch with me, and he might have some ideas. And, well, he might have some really good ideas about it, because he knows it. So I'll sign off now. Hope you enjoy this. Wish it was longer, but it's the way it goes. So I'm happy to do it for you. Bye now, this September 22nd, 1995. Don Manning signing off.